It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Change in his game. He picked up six. Jeremy McNichols turns the corner for a first down. McNichols powering inside the five, down the sideline, and that's going to be a Washington touchdown. What a run from Jeremy McNichols.
The Commanders offense cannot be stopped. Grant and Danny on the Fan, and we are fired up to welcome Austin Eckler back to the show in his normally Tuesday scheduled appointment right at 5 p.m. here to get trusted insight from trusted insiders as we do here on the Fan, thanks to our friends at IT Cadre, where DC Sports Insiders share their exclusive perspective. Austin Eckler via IT Cadre on the hotline with us on Grant and Danny. Austin, it is great to talk to you again. How are you?
I'm doing great. Good to be back on, boys. How we been?
Well, pretty damn good, dude.
We were nervous. No Austin Eckler. We thought everything was going to come screeching to a halt. But the boys survived a week, and Jeremy McNichols, you were right. You told us he could play. He'd be just fine. He went out, and he balled in the next man up league. It went very well.
Heck yeah, man. I mean, and look. We got a lot of playmakers on the offense. So, you know, yes, if I'm not there, you know, we lose one of the players. But, look, we got a lot more guys that are showing up and doing the thing. Obviously, Jaden's doing his thing. Terry looks good, coming alive. I'd love to see that, too, and so on and so forth. So they took care of business, and I'm glad to be back with them now.
How are you feeling, buddy, and kind of what's the latest on you working your way back?
Yeah, you know, I'm just continuing to complete the processes of concussion protocol. You know, I'm working my way through. I'm feeling like myself. Hopefully you can tell a little bit, you know, more with it today than our last conversation. And so that's all a good sign to getting back as hopefully this week.
That was the question. Do you think you're tracking toward the possibility of being able to play this weekend?
Oh, absolutely tracking towards being able to play. And so that's a good sign, you know, especially when you're talking about your head. Hey, you want to make sure everything is how it's supposed to be. It's not one of those like ankles where you can put some tape on it, you know, like this is my brain I'm talking about. So I want to make sure that everything is feeling normal and is, you know, reacting normal and is where it's supposed to be. And things are definitely trending that direction.
Sounds very good. Austin Eckler here on Grant and Danny, weekly appointment with us. He'll be with us all season long, Tuesdays at 5 o'clock on the Fan. What was it like watching from home?
Oh man, I have so much anxiety when I'm not there, man. I feel like I'm a fan, you know, where it's like you want him to do so well, but you're just so, you know, helpless. Like I can't do anything, you know. I could just sit here screaming at the screen with my wife every commercial. I'd make us get up and do some stretches. Got to stay up. My ass, keep moving. Let's keep moving, just to blow off some steam and then come back to it. But obviously, as they started to get a lead, it definitely helped me kind of come to a little relaxation a little bit from the couch at home. So that was my viewing experience.
Do you pick up stuff when you're, you know, totally, as you said, removed from it, watching just like schlubs like Grant and I? Like, do you see something where you go, oh, I can't wait to do that when it comes to, you know, when I'm back in action? Do you pick up stuff from watching the TV copy, or is it, you know, it's all old hat?
I definitely pick up stuff, but it's not like, not necessarily like that, but like I know what the plays are, right? Like I'm seeing different signals. Like I hear Jaden talking when they like show the audio from the field. And so I know, like, I have like the ultimate insight of knowing what's going on because I'm just part of the ecosystem, obviously. So that's kind of cool to know what's coming. Like I'm telling Mel, I'm like, oh, this is pass right here. This is the pass. Like as if she even cared. I'm still telling her, you know, oh, this is going to be run to the right, you know, like things like that. So it's pretty cool to have that knowledge. Not cool to be at the sideline, but I guess I can still be in tune that way.
What was the most important part of that game? I always think of some of the old coaches and cliches about, you know, you got to play every play like it's your last play, every play hard because you never know when the key play is going to happen. From your perspective, what was the most important part of that game that led Washington to eventually run away with it?
Yeah, I think it was a collective of small things. And it was really, I think, the lack of mistakes. Like the ball was getting to places. Guys were in the right spots on the right timing. Obviously, that comes down to play calling as well. And so making sure that, hey, we don't have to force anything. I know Jaden threw a pick, kind of, you know, had Terry there, but it just seemed like it just carried away on him. But other than that, it was like really good, solid, fundamental football. And you were basically able to just chip your way. It wasn't a ton of huge plays, but really just, you know, chipping your way down the field, staying on, converting on third downs, you know, running the ball, a good mix of run, pass, Jaden moving with his feet as well. Like all of these small little things that don't seem very tough, but are tough at the NFL to stay consistent with, that we're really connecting with our team and multiple players, you know, not just a few, but really all over the place. And so really good team dominant win.
Going back and watching what you guys are doing, it's so amazing and complicated and fun in the running game. Just the different ways that Kingsbury's setting things up. Like on the opening drive, which was a lot of no huddle, four runs that are all different conceptual plays out of different formations, essentially. I'm wondering from a personnel standpoint, like running on and off the field or just getting aligned, is this any more complicated than offenses you've run in the past? Because that's not necessarily normal that you'd have like different formation families and then different concepts on four straight runs like that.
Oh, yeah. You know, I think what Cliff does a good job of that I've never done anywhere else. I mean, we have so many walkthroughs that we have so many times to practice being in different positions. Hey, this is your details on this route, and you're going to probably do that in a walkthrough probably 15 times a week. And that's including practice as well. And so you have a lot of practice being in different spots. You get comfortable. Okay, this is my responsibility, even though, you know, I saw B-Rob playing quarterback, you know, even an RB direct snap, or if I'm chipping on the edge or I'm out wide or I'm doing a motion, like we get really comfortable in running these plays that we have drawn up for the week, which allows us to go out there and play fast. And so now to the viewer, it's like, oh, look, they're all over the place. But for us, it's just we're running that one specific play that I've already repped 30 times this week, you know.
Austin Eckler with us here on G&D. So, Austin, as you work your way back, this is, you know, obviously you're an NFL player. You're cut differently than most folks. But, like, if I, like, stub my toe, I'm ginger about it for, like, days at a time. And, like, I'm afraid to put weight on it. You've got to go out and get in a bunch of car wrecks, you know, this coming Sunday against a bunch of guys that want to knock your head off. What's sort of that first thing where you are maybe tentative about coming back and then you go, okay, I'm good to go? What's that first marker where you're like, yep, I'm me again. I'm ready to rock?
I think, you know, during practice, you know, we try not to hit each other as much as we can. I mean, you don't want to save our bodies for the game just because it is so intense. And so you don't really get that full contact hit in practice. And so that's what I would say is that gets me ready to go, is that full contact hit, like that first pop in a game. And that's really if I'm injured or if I'm not injured coming back, like that first hit, you know, is that kind of like a wake up, like, it almost like jolts more adrenaline through your body. And I feel like you kind of like come alive in a sense that like you feel rejuvenated in a kind of weird, twisted way. Like your body's like now alert to go and, you know, have more car wrecks basically. So That's what I would say.
Austin Eckler did tell us a couple of weeks back that he's happy to take questions from you guys on the phone. So we can open up the phones for some questions today. We'll get a couple on the back end of the conversation here at 800-636-1067. Let Austin touch the people a little bit. 800-636-1067. You want to talk with one of Washington's best offensive players through the first quarter of their season on Grant and Danny. Are you aware? It seems like maybe because you stayed back and you've been around the area here the last few days, maybe you would have picked up on it. But the three straight wins is one thing to get people excited. I mean, you got to go back to 91, the last Super Bowl year, to find the last time this team in back-to-back weeks has done what it has offensively. People are really starting to get excited. Are you feeling that? Is that tangible within the building at all?
Yeah, man. It seems like this this community has definitely gone through some tough times. And so it really feels good to be a part of, you know, giving you guys some early success, because, you know, I'm seeing people making videos about, you know, grown man, I'm about to start tearing up and talking about like, man, like we're back. Like, you know, people in the comments are like, you know, it finally feels like it's not just like a spurt of the moment, like we actually have a team. And so it's like, it's really cool to be a part of kind of the new era and the new feel of what we're doing here with Dan Quinn and our new ownership and the rest of this team. And so it's been awesome, man. It's been awesome to see, you know, kind of revitalizing the community. Hey, more to come, because that's what we're about. You heard Dan Quinn. I heard him before, you know, I jumped on this. The quote he was saying is like, we are in relentless pursuit to continue to be the best that we can. So the best is yet to come. We're just getting started, and more is on the way.
Along those lines too, home game after a couple straight on the road. First time you guys have played at home since the Giants home opener, when you broke a kick return for a touchdown that got called back to open the home slate. But a lot of us, you know, that have been around for a while are just kind of curious to see what it looks like. I've heard from so many fans this week that are going to their first game at the stadium in 10 years that didn't want to give Dan Snyder money, or, you know, weren't happy about the name change, or for whatever reason have stopped going to games, and all of a sudden maybe they're opting back in. What are you guys anticipating in terms of a home advantage maybe this weekend?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm not going to lie, the first game too, I mean, we were popping in there. It was loud. You know, I don't know if it was because we had some good energy and we were, you know, beating a division rival and going back and forth, but was definitely, you know, appreciative of that crowd that was there. But I'm expecting this one to be, you know, just as good, if not better, for sure, now that we're getting some momentum going. And, you know, in sports, it's an emotional roller coaster for the fans, you know. And so when the time is right and things are going well, you definitely, you know, are going to pull people out of places where they've been hiding for a while because they haven't been excited, or for whatever reason, like you were talking about, they didn't want to go and support. And so, hey, I think we're opening some new doors, you know, and we're getting people excited about something. So guess what? You're going to get more input. And so, yeah, I'm expecting that place to be rocking. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, Austin, kind of to your point, what's happening now is just, it's so much damn fun. It's so awesome, and you're an integral ingredient to it, kind of changing this culture, changing the perception, and changing kind of the way everybody, you know, locally and around the league views Washington. So my question is, before you came here, like, how aware were you of sort of that same perception that wasn't very positive? This wasn't a destination. This wasn't a place where feelings were very good. How cognizant of that were you, and how important was it to say, we're going to go change that?
Look, I had no idea. I had no idea. Okay. I kind of learned about the culture from guys that were here before me. And basically everything I said was like, look, I don't care what the hell was going on here before I got here, because this is now and this is new. We got a whole new team, whole new staff, whole new players, whole new ownership. And like, we're a whole new face at this point. Like, so whatever you all did in the past, you know, that's all gone. Like, most of those players are gone too, right? So this is a whole new refresh start. You know, and I've been a part of, you know, teams that we had a lot of talent and didn't come out, and there's expectations, and then the opposite, where, hey, you don't know what's going to happen, and you actually end up being, you know, a solid team making a run. And so coming into this new culture was pretty awesome, actually, to be a part of a lot of new things, because we're all learning together. We have high expectations for ourselves, but really don't know how it's going to play out because we haven't played with each other yet. And so now to see all of this new stuff coming together, getting in a rhythm, right, a culture being set, and I've said this over and over again, if I would have wanted to be a head coach, I'd want to be like Dan Quinn, because I just love what he's about, all about that culture, all about the brotherhood. It makes it a super inviting place to play, and not only that, but a competitive place, and a place that you really are hungry to continue to get better for the guy next to you. And so when you put all those pieces together, man, I mean, it's a combination for good things. It doesn't guarantee wins, but it's definitely going to help.
Did you have a favorite play in terms of, like, design, execution, call, how it looked, just watching the game at home like the rest of us, that stands out to you looking back at the 42 points?
I actually wanted to say this. Like, make sure you watch our kickoff team. Like, our kickoff team is freaking relentless. Like, oh, my God. Like, I would not want to go against our kickoff team. Like, those guys, oh, jeez.
You're talking about coverage, right?
I'm talking about kickoff coverage.
Yeah,
like, our
totally.
Coverage team there's some dogs out there, man. They are going to hunt. They're going to eat, and they are doing just that, man, because it is straight carnage.
It was hilarious.
So, like, that's something that doesn't get a lot of love, but definitely watch our kickoff team. And that was probably a curveball for y'all, but it's fun to watch because those guys are crazy.
It was a little Barry Zito breaking ball. My buddy sitting next to me, I think it was Sinnott, somebody had a huge hit. big tackle. The whole sideline went crazy on a kickoff play, on a coverage play. And he's like,
"Oh yeah,
am I wrong, or do we always destroy people on kickoff returns?"
Bro, I'm telling you, he's right. It is wild to watch. I feel bad for their returner because they do not know what's about to happen, or they do and they can't stop it. Wow.
So far, it sounds like you are a big fan of the new kick return. I don't know why anyone wouldn't be. We're getting more returns. It seems like it's fun. It's opened up a little bit. I mean, you should be a big fan.
Yeah, leading the league in kick returns.
You've ripped off a couple.
We've ripped a couple out there. It's supposed to be safer, right? It's supposed to take some of the bigger collisions, you know, out. Really, it's for the frontline guys. Those are where less big collisions are happening, I guess. But for the returner, it's still full bore. Like, you know, we're getting messed up. If the guy gets beat up front, you don't make someone miss. So still football, still dangerous play, still has some of that factor of, you know, a traditional kickoff. But it's just different. And, you know, when you change anything, it takes a while for people to get used to it. So I think that's just what we're experiencing right now with the new kickoff rules.
So earlier in the show, we were taking calls just a bit ago, trying to find a nickname for this offense, right? The greatest show on turf for the Rams. You guys don't punt. You're the best offense in the league right now. You need a nickname. So here are some that we came up with. We wanted to bounce off of you, and you tell us if you like any of these.
All right, let's hear it.
All right, we got the Thrill on the Hill, homage to Capitol Hill in D.C.
Ooh, okay.
Thump and Dump. Which sounds inappropriate, but it's about the offense. Thump and Dump.
Wait, something dump?
No, Thump and Dump.
Oh, Thump and Dump. Okay.
Yeah. We've got East Coast offense juxtaposed with West Coast offense. Okay. Run DMV. Run DMV.
Instead of DNC or...
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And then, Danny, you had...
The no-punt offense, a.k.a. the NPO. Like, playing off the RPO, except it's an NPO.
I think the first one was definitely the best option. What was that one again?
Thrill on the Hill.
Thrill on the Hill.
Thrill on the Hill is good.
I like
That's
it.
That's good.
So just so you know, on the polling, Run DMV is running away with
running
it.
Running away with it.
Like 71% of votes.
I was going to say that, but I just didn't know if people were... You know the reference or be a fan or I don't, yeah. So I thought the Thrill on the Hill was a little bit more balanced of a name, but I could definitely see the Run DMV for sure.
Run DMV.
Yeah, all the old people my age are going, "Oh, I remember them, that one," and they're clicking on it.
Right.
Austin. So Cliff Kingsbury's had great offenses over the years, right? He's you know, pelts on the wall. Offenses have been good. He's never been known for like having an exceptional rush offense. It's been good, buoyed, I think, by some quarterbacks that are athletic. I was thinking about this morning. I think we're underrating having Anthony Lynn on this staff as the run game coordinator. I know you played for him, earlier on in your career. I feel like he's instrumental in kind of helping you guys make this run game balanced, sophisticated, powerful, and explosive.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's two sides to, you know, making the run game work. Well, really three, right? Having a great pass game absolutely helps. Having the offensive line and receivers that are willing to and able to, you know, actually convert the runs that we're trying to make work, and then, you know, having the running backs also do it as well. So from the physical side, we need to have those, which I'm loving the pieces that we brought in, the team that we put together, because we've definitely been meshing well. And then bring in, you know, Coach Lynn, and he's a guru, and when it comes to the running game, he's been, you know, really a specialist at that for the last 20 years. And bringing him in and helping him get what he's really good at. And what I really like about Coach Lynn is he puts specific players and people in the right space to do certain things that they're best at. Hey, what are we best at? Hey, are we against this team? You know, we are strong going to the right, or we're strong with Austin, you know, inside zone this game. And he's really thinking about the details of, hey, what are the probabilities based off of the players that we have and the capabilities that we have and our matchup that we're going to face. And so that's what he lives, breathes, and sleeps. And so, yeah, matching that with Cliff and what he's been doing with Jaden as well has been a match-making heaven for both sides.
Austin Eckler on Grant and Danny. All right, let's bring in Dante, who's in Waldorf, wants to say hi to Austin. Dante, what's up?
Hey, how you doing? Hey, Austin, man. Hey, Godspeed to you, man. First thing, what's the vibe like in D.C. right now? In the locker room right now.
Ooh, good question. So everyone just got back yesterday, man, and – you know, winning solves a lot of the culture and the, I would say, the feeling of, you know, the drag of the season. And so when you're winning, you're on a run, like people are bouncing into the, you know, the locker room, like smiles on faces. Like there's a sense of confidence. There's a sense of, hey, we have a mission. We got to keep going. Like we got to keep the pedal down. We have an expectation that is even higher now because of how we started. So I would say as far as vibes go, we're in a good zone. You don't want to ever get too high, too low, but we're in a zone where, hey, we want to maintain this and keep building on what we have.
Let's go to Chris, who's in Brandywine, wants to hop in with Austin Eckler on Grant and Danny. He's with us every Tuesday at 5 p.m., giving us trusted insight. He is our insider presented by IT Cadre, where DC Sports Insiders share their exclusive perspective. What's up, Chris? How are you?
Hey, thanks. I'm doing well. Thanks for taking my call. I'm a Prince George's County teacher and looking forward to having my school apply for Austin's program that he has, a nonprofit program. But my question for him today is, you've been a part, as a veteran, you've been a part of many different teams and with San Diego or L.A., and how is the energy and vibe compare to what you're experiencing now? Do you feel like there's something special going on here? Do you think it's run of the course, or how do you feel about your experience so far?
Yeah, I appreciate that, Chris. And yeah, if we can get, you know, a weight room or some resources over to the school, definitely, yeah, hit up our.
Can I ask before you answer the question? Because I honestly, yeah. You've told us so much about your ventures, you know, with the app and different things you're doing. What is he referencing? I'm not familiar.
Yeah, so I have the Austin Eckler Foundation, where we put resources back into communities that are in need. And so obviously that's very vast, but we've done things like washers and dryers, you know, schooling supplies. Our main avenue is weight rooms for high schools or just schools in general, nice. Renovating those.
That's so fantastic.
Just a bunch of different resources that we've been putting back into the communities that, and looking to get more into the D.C. area, the DMV area here. So that's what he's referencing there.
That's awesome. And then specific to, like, the vibes with this team compared to the past, does it feel similar or unique?
Yeah, I think the vibes of the team is something that can be established early on. But the season 100% affects that because there's so much for stake when you're playing in the season, right? Like wins, losses, how the team's doing, how individuals are doing, how the leadership is doing. All of that has a little piece that's going to affect how the feeling of the team is, and on a personal level as well. You know, if you're winning, you know, it definitely helps. If you're losing, it doesn't, right? It just plays a lot on your mental, trying to figure out, you know, a method to go forward. And so where we're at right now, what I think is really good as far as like coaching from Dan Quinn is, you never want to get too high where you're like, hey, we're the best thing ever on turf. You know, like you guys are making nicknames for us and all this stuff. It's like, that's great. We'll let you guys have that fun. We got to still lock in on the mission. And that's continue to win games, continue to go, because the job's not done. We only play 4 games. Like, everyone's excited. That's great. You know, you guys be excited for us. We're excited too, but guess what? We still got work to do. And so as far as what I've been around, that's where we're at right now. It's still in that mode of, hey, let's continue to lock in. We can be excited, you know, after, you know, we get our job done at the end of the season. But right now it's continue to, yep, take the compliments, you know, take them as they are, but also understand that, hey, we still got a job to do, and they can flip in an instant. And so don't get too high, don't get too low.
You guys stay medium. We're going to do the go crazy thing at 3-1.
Yeah, we can be irresponsible.
We've been waiting since 2011 for 3-1. Hey,
we got to focus on winning games so you guys can keep going crazy.
Love it.
Awesome having you on the show, man. As always, glad you're feeling better.
Here,
and looking forward to seeing you on the field on Sunday. Thanks for the time.
Heck yeah, thanks, y'all. I appreciate the fans for the questions, too. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, buddy.
We'll
thank you, Austin.
As we go forward. That's Austin Eckler on Grant and Danny. Always tremendous. We're looking forward to that segment all football season long. It is presented by IT Cadre. Their trusted insight helps leaders of the nation's most important organizations understand complexity, align efforts, and make the best data-driven decisions to achieve success. IT Cadre, your vision, our purpose. You're listening to Grant and Danny. Devontae Adams wants out of Vegas. A lot of pundits are saying Washington would be a good landing spot. Is that something the Commanders should be considering? Next on The Fan.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I haven't heard from him. I haven't talked to him. So I don't know. I don't really know exactly what that was about. Obviously, I got, you know, social media is a beast. So it's a lot of people out there that saw it and, you know, wondering what's going on and people reaching out. And yeah, I haven't spoke to him. Honestly, it's hard to comment on. Okay. I'm sure you would imagine as such, but it's one of those situations where I just keep my head down and keep doing my thing and, you know, let the chips fall where they may as it pertains to that. But I haven't, there's been no communication with anybody from the team since that became a thing. But, you know, it's kind of just like the weekly what's up with Tay thing. You know, it's always some sort of drama. But.
That was Davante Adams with Kay Adams on The Adams Show. Welcome back, Grant and Danny. On the Fan.
They should do a podcast together called The Adams Family. You're welcome.
Adams and Adams. I think he's on her show every week. It's like their version of Rogers with McAfee. I don't know what they call it. I don't know if the fact that their last name is the same has anything to do with the title of the segment. Don't really know. Haven't seen it. But that audio is from that segment. And the reason we played it for you is because Davante Adams wants to be traded. That's the report from NFL Network today. He wants out. The Raiders, as we told you last hour, are upset with him. Antonio Pierce, the head coach of the Raiders, said, without naming him, that Davante Adams made business decisions in the game that they played against the Panthers when they lost and he had 4 catches for 40 yards a couple weeks ago. He didn't play against the Browns. He was injured, I guess, and so he was unavailable. But there was a post that he may have played his last down with the Raiders that the head coach of the team, Antonio Pierce, liked. That's what the question was about. From Kay Adams, that he was responding to there. Trouble in paradise, obviously. Mm-hmm. You'll remember he agitated, essentially, but forced his way off of the Green Bay Packers when Aaron Rodgers left. He went to the Raiders to play with Derek Carr, who's now in New Orleans. He's not happy there. Did you watch the Netflix show he was starring on?
I watched a lot of it. I haven't gotten to the part where he's as much of a problem as everybody seems to say he was.
Okay.
So I haven't gotten there yet.
It was like most of the season. Like I would say like...
Starting episode 2.5 or 3.
Like 3 through 8. So mm-hmm. I hope you enjoyed the first episode. Shtick aside, he throughout the entire series of Netflix was not painted very well. I'm sure part of that is the editing process. But he was a gigantic pain in the butt to deal with. Like an absolute problem for that coaching staff. He advocated for the benching of Jimmy Garoppolo. He had some influence and some power, but he wanted Josh McDaniels fired. He just seemed like a malcontent.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't come off very well. This is one of my favorite players in the league for a long, long time because I always thought he was kind of the anti-diva at wide receiver, and that clearly the last couple of years has just not been the case. He's not happy, understandably. A lot of people that aren't happy in their job aren't good soldiers, and it seems like he has not really fallen in line. But he's a 6-time Pro Bowler, a 3-time All-Pro, a fringe Hall of Famer, one of the best receivers of his era. And even last year, in a quote-unquote down year where they had bad quarterback play, he caught 100 passes for a 4th consecutive season, and he went for 1,100 yards. He has gone for 1,000 or more yards every single year but one since 2017. So I say all this, Danny, to ask you, with national analysts saying Washington's one of the teams that should be calling the Raiders about Adams. You're Mr. Go get a receiver, go get a receiver, go get a receiver. You broke records for how much you talked about that in the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
How quickly would you pick up the phone to call the Raiders about Davante Adams?
This would be more of a courtesy call, but I don't think this one makes a lot of sense for Washington. And I know that sounds crazy given the, you know, as you said, my viewpoints and my rhetoric. That was before they averaged 40 points again in the last 2 weeks.
I was going to say, so this is a massive sea change for you because right before the season, you were desperate for them to trade for Brandon Ayuk.
Yeah, because to me, it was pretty simple. They had assets, they had salary cap space, they had draft picks available, and they chose to do very little at a dire position of need that directly affects their quarterback. I thought that was a huge unforced error. And I posted a video about this. I said it all day yesterday. I'm saying it today. I'll say it as often as it comes up. I was wrong. I was 100% wrong. They don't need to go all in just yet on a guy that you're going to have to rework in terms of contract, because his next 2 years in the mid-40s in terms of salary cap hits, and that's just prohibitive. You'd have to rework a deal, and I'm not necessarily that excited to do that for a guy that'll be 33.
How much of your lack of interest in Davante Adams is his contract?
That's a big part of it. So, meaning you have to restructure or, you know, sign him to an extension, and now we're talking about doing that again for a guy that's about to be 33 years old.
Yeah, he's 32, and he's got a five-year, $140 million contract. You could wiggle out of at the end of this year if you wanted to with 15.7 in dead money. And if you traded for him, I doubt you would take on all of that money. Mm-hmm. I would think the Raiders would have some type of penalty as well, so maybe it'd be a little bit less than that. But what would make more sense, because he's under contract, and if you're trading for Adams, it's not for this season, you would then give him an extension and spread out the massive cap hits over more years. If you did some void years on the back end, you could even lower the number more. But 44.1 is the cap hit each of the next two seasons, which is untenable. So you would have a multi-year extension. You know, he'd have 4 or 5 years left, let's say, on the deal till his age 37 season, and he kicked the can down the road for a few years with a number one receiver. My interest in him is very, very low. I would say almost zero. The money is a very small part of it for me. Maybe that's the difference. Number one, he's been a complete malcontent for the better part of a couple of years. I don't do that when I can avoid it. Number two, I don't think they run an offense where a guy like Davante Adams is going to eat. I really don't believe that. Like, the whole point of his annoyance on Netflix was, if I'm not a part of a great offense by catching a lot of passes, I'm not happy, essentially. And I'm paraphrasing, but the gist was, you know, if we're never punting and scoring a lot and I never catch the ball, I can find a way to be okay. But I get paid to catch passes, and if you're not giving me a chance to, I don't like that very much. But, like, this offense is about playing point guard. 1 week it's going to be Noah Brown. The other week it's going to be Olamide Zaccheaus. The beauty of having Terry McLaurin as your number one is that he never rocks the boat. When he's unhappy, he's just kind of quiet, and he's not as smiley. You know, he's never going to say anything or bring a lot of attention negatively on himself or the team. And for 2 weeks, when the quarterback wasn't involving the receivers at all, Terry McLaurin didn't mind it. He just said, no problem. And then the week that he got to catch all the passes, he became a star again, and he was happy-go-lucky Terry. But I think bringing in an A-list wide receiver for this offense, the way they run the football a lot, throw the ball horizontally, the way Jaden Daniels operates kind of toward the sidelines, not so much middle of the field, it doesn't really make a lot of sense to me. I just don't see it as a big fit or even a necessity. And then you throw the money into the equation. I would say I have almost no interest.
The fit part is interesting. I think part of this, why they're doing it this way, is one part, it's the style, it's the offense, to your point, and they've and where their weapons are. It's Eckler, although he wasn't available this week, but it's Eckler, it's Ertz, it's underneath, it's quick hit stuff, et cetera, and that's what Kingsbury's going to major in. But when he had a true, honest-to-God number one in DeAndre Hopkins, he went for 1,400 yards and, I think, 9 or 10 touchdowns. So, like, to me, Adams, I think, is still right now. I don't know what he's going to be in a year or 2 years or three. Big receivers like that, I feel like they tend to, you know, age like big running backs. I think a lot of times they go off a cliff. But if you're legit and awesome, I bet you they find looks for you. You know, I think they're doing it this way partly out of necessity, partly because they want to thump and grind, so to speak. They want to hand the ball off a bunch and soften defenses up that way and utilize all the skill sets. But
the
I don't know.
On the hill?
You would think they want to do the thrill on the hill situation. I think if you've got a number one receiver, things look different, meaning you can get that guy will get the ball because he's just open all the time.
Would you go after Davante Adams now that he is on the trade block, it sounds like? Yes or no? 800-636-1067. How interested should Washington be? How willing to trade picks, to take on big-time salary, should they be? They've talked a lot about this coming year, meaning this offseason being when they're going to invest a lot of money. They got a lot of wiggle room, $100 million-plus again to spend. Should they use some of that on a true number one receiver? At that point, McLaurin becomes a number two, and your wide receiver room is outstanding. I say absolutely not. I'm against it pretty adamantly. You would say?
I would say no, but a softer no.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. Taking you up to 6:30 tonight on the Fan, We're Grant and Danny. Before we get out of here, we are giving away tickets to see the Deftones in our final segment, so make sure you're listening. Also, got to pay homage to a couple of former greats in the sports world who passed away over the last day. One final chance for you to go vote right now, facebook.com/Grant and Danny. Commander's Survivor is winding down. You've got to give a player immunity, and you've got to kick a player off the island. You can go vote at facebook.com/Grant and Danny. We will cast our votes right now. Danny, who are you giving immunity to based on their performance this week? Your options include Brian Robinson, Austin Eckler didn't play, Terry McLaurin, Zach Ertz, Brandon Coleman, and Sam Cosmi on offense. On defense, Daron Payne, Bobby Wagner, Frankie Louvu, Benjamin St. Juice, Quan Martin, Jeremy Chinn, and the lone specialist remaining is Austin Seibert.
I give it to Brian Robinson Jr. Went for over 100. I thought he was effective. Caught a couple passes as well, which some hidden yards in there. Thought he was really, really good, so I gave him immunity.
I will give Frankie Louvu immunity. He ripped the ball out for the second takeaway of the season when everyone had kind of quit on a play at the end of the game when no one was really going till the whistle. And that's not a knock as much as it's just reality as they were playing out the string in a blowout win. Not Louvu. He doesn't have that gear in his back pocket. I mean, he just does everything a million miles an hour. He's an energizer bunny. He gets immunity. Tough week to kick somebody off the island. I mean, Eckler not playing could be at risk, I suppose, because almost everyone else played well. Who you kicking off?
This isn't fair. This stinks. I voted Quan Martin off. Not a lot of impact for, you know, the first part of the season. He's been fine, I think. There's nothing wrong with what Quan Martin did. I actually think he's playing decently well. But voted him off just because I think Eckler's done too much already, too many deposits, even though he missed this game. Thought about voting off Ertz, only 22 yards receiving, but hard to vote off anybody on an offense that scored a million points again. So this one is not fair, but I voted Quan Martin.
Yeah, I also voted Quan Martin off, and my reasoning similarly was it was a fairly quiet performance. It's the worst side of the football, and I figured it should be somebody on defense after they scored 42 again, rolled with him. We will give you the verdict based on your votes for immunity and for who got voted off the island coming up in just a few minutes on G&D. The question for you guys, though, right now, should the Commanders look to acquire Davante Adams as he is on the trade block? A wide receiver one. They're an ascending team. They're 3-1, and they might be going from club that everyone thought needed a long rebuild to contender this year. Dave's in Woodbridge. What's up, Dave?
Hey, guys. So I'm definitely would be all in, but I know you'd have to rework his deal because he wasn't guaranteed money. But while I was on hold, I was thinking, what's the bigger need? I would make a call to Miami for Jalen Ramsey. If they lose another game or two, if we got a number one cornerback, that is way more important than another, either a 1A or 1B receiver. Because, you know, Terry is great. I understand our other receivers are not amazing or anything like that. It's a committee. But wouldn't you feel better with a number one cornerback? You know, start reaching out to some of these other teams that are starting to, you know, only with one win or no wins and try to go after their number one.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, smart. Corner's a bigger need. There's no doubt about it. Different conversation than the one we're having. I mean, if the question is, would I try to trade for help in the secondary? Yes. Should they consider trading for a superstar corner? Yes, but specific to the actual topic of the news of the day, Davante Adams is actually potentially going to be traded. It's not like a, see if the Dolphins would trade you this guy. No. I mean, Ian Rappaport an hour ago came out and said the Raiders are looking to trade Davante Adams. We know he's unhappy, and they're not happy with him. Should Washington consider that, yes or no? I'm an absolutely not on this. Danny's a softer no. Let's see about Justin in Alexandria. What's up, buddy?
Hey, what's up, fellas? Thanks for taking the call.
Hey, man.
Hey, yeah, so I would say do it, right? I think if this is the beginning of the season, you know, you don't like that trade, similar to Ayuk, right, because you're saying, you know, it's not a rebuild, you know, you're recalibrating. But I think now that they're in that win-now mode, I think really Peters has some decisions to make, right? You get Adams, it's like, you know, like the previous caller said, you really never can have too many receivers or corners. I mean, you think about the Eagles, right? They're down their two number one receivers. The NFL stands for not for long, but that also accounts for injuries, right? So it's a long season. I mean, you go get them just because you have the money, but I would love to hear you guys' thoughts on that.
Thanks, buddy.
Appreciate you.
You can be like Justin and call us at 800-636-1067 here on Grant and Danny on the Fan. By the way, Justin's in Alexandria. Join us Friday out in Alexandria. We're broadcasting at Atlas Brew Works on Mandeville Lane. It's the new spot. They've got 15 taps, dozens of TVs. Pizza and wings are delicious. We'll be there all day Friday, 2 to 6:30, doing the show ahead of a weekend of football. What do you think of his call?
So, it's an interesting perspective, talking about like the windows and chances you have to win, et cetera. I'm usually not a fan of sort of deviating from the plan unless something so remarkably exceptional happens. In other words, this to me is a slow build still, right? They're turning over from a bad roster, as evidenced by the number of players that are new. You have so many guys on one-year deals. They're trying to start to build something. And one of the tough things you can do is, look, we're here. We're ready to go. Smashing, you know, and all of a sudden, not panic, but overestimate maybe where you are and give up future assets and ability to kind of build that title window. So I don't know that I'd be as all in to start trading away future things right now when I'm in a pretty good position. Just because I'm a little bit ahead of schedule doesn't mean that midseason I'm going to give away every future asset.
I agree with most of that. The only thing I'd say is I would be urgent and I'd have an aggressiveness and I would be willing to act because the entire strength of a young quarterback is that you're not paying them. And you got to try to win on that rookie deal. So the quicker you align the roster the way you want to around that player, the better. There's no reason to wait until the second, the third, the fourth year of the player to start pushing the chips in. So we could do this slow roster build Ron Rivera style. If you think you got the quarterback and he's not making money yet, that's a godsend. Go get everybody else around him as fast as possible. So really, for me, a trade like that wouldn't be for this year. It'd be for next year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to win this year, but in year two of having the star player.
But now you got him, in other words, yeah.
I'm better off. I just don't want Adams specifically. That's not to say I'm not interested in a receiver. I'd have been more interested in Brandon Ayuk a few weeks ago when I said no to that, but I at least had interest. I wouldn't have hated it, but I didn't want to do it. This, to me, I would hate. I think it would be a bad decision. He is a veteran, older guy into his mid-30s who's had, quote-unquote, issues in two straight stops, who was a complete pain in the butt with the Raiders, who's got a crazy amount of money left on his contract. There's just a ton of reasons why I'd say no thank you. And now, seeing how they operate their offense, I don't think this is a Jaden Daniels feeds a receiver offense. I don't think you can keep Davante Adams, who wants touches, healthy. Jaden Daniels is not a guy that's going to just force the ball to a wide receiver and is not the kind of passer, frankly, who's going to be going for 300 every single week. He's going to scramble. He's going to run. There's going to be weeks where he's 15 of 23 for 157 yards, and that's part of it. Like that, this is not Davante Adams friendly, I don't think. 800-636-1067. You want to hop in on Grant and Danny? We'll give away those tickets in our final segment to see the Deftones. Plus, we'll get you an update on what has been a wild afternoon in playoff baseball right here on G&D.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.